It seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/sell23, all lowercase. Whether you're selling loafers or peace lilies, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person. Covering all sales channels, from a shop front POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. With their 24/7 help and extensive business calls library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Go to shopify.co.uk/sell23 to take your business to the next level today. That's shopify.co.uk/sell23.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Before we go any further, we did it yesterday. We should do it today again, and we'll do it pretty heavy duty this week. Ladies and gentlemen, roll our fabulous television commercial. Yay, rah, rah.
Fun. We bring it to you.
Look at all those people already
come
on our
aboard.
Cruise.
I love it.
We are drinking with you and fun.
Great vocal.
The best thing to have.
Maybe the best.
Let it flow. Flow right out of you. TMOS Love Boat. We will be making our debut run. TMOS Love Boat.
Great time.
We always put the FU in fun. Set a course for December, your mind.
Great
on
acting.
Another blast and fun.
It's the only button.
Won't hurt anymore. It's an open smile.
Not an open sore.
It's fun. TMOS, don't get happy. Fun. 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 Fun.
Yeah.
Jumped the gun with the ending just a little bit there. Now that we have been running this TV commercial all over the place, I can do a little observation.
Yeah, please.
The best shirt look was Rob with the epaulets.
Thank you.
That because Rob pays attention to what he's wearing, but when you ask him for a recommendation for what you need, he says, "Get this hat," and that's the hat that I have here. This is my
looks fine as long as you don't turn around.
Fine would be. I would describe it as fine. I would describe it as fine. This is it was $9, so that's a good part.
I like to keep my eye on the budget, Mike.
Yeah.
I like about Rob's picks is you still have that. Rob throws his right back in the box and returns it to Amazon.
It never even cooled down.
Yeah.
It's back at Amazon to another great person that likes to pretend they live on a boat.
If I had been more proactive, I probably would have, when you look at the old Love Boats and Gavin McLeod, he really has the great, he was a dandy. He had a great captain's hat. He loved being the captain of the Love Boat. He loved it. You could tell that he really identified with the character. I pictured this at a Jimmy Buffett concert for a guy that's throwing up. This hat right here.
Does he throw up into the hat?
It's just it's such the cheapness of this is hard to really gather. It really is. So
Until we entered the next strata of pricing, though, I think that was the finest, as it had the scrambled eggs.
Was there another strata of pricing?
Yeah, if you go up to $50, $60, you're getting the real deal.
Not sure like I want to make that kind of commitment.
That was my thought exactly. Yeah.
For that. So the Love Boat cruise coming up in December. Little tough rollout yesterday. We had a little tough time of it. I've got the background today showing you what it's all about. That's our cruising background. Those really don't look like cruise ships as much as maybe the Dandy coming out of Washington, D.C., that we're doing, but we're really, really excited about it.
It suggested the Rhine River in the earlier part of the last century. It looks a little Germanic
lovely.
To me.
Kudos to our friend, Mr. Soroka, for putting that that whole video presentation
yes.
together, and it just made the whole thing. That was the most fun we had doing that, and mm-hmm. Really, really exciting to get it done. Yesterday, a few little glitches. You can go back today and check it out. And what was the glitch that people had trouble with? It was the website for purchasing the tickets, or
well,
what?
Well, people don't like the layout of the purchasing page.
Okay.
We don't control that.
All right.
That's cruises.com.
Yeah.
What they do have is great customer support. So if you don't like the website, just call the phone number that's on that page.
Yeah, we sell like 20 cabins right away from our bonus show subscribers. And then the reason we give them first dibs is because when we open it up to everybody, it's like, nah, 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 nah.
Mike, here's the average comment from the average listener right here.
And,
they don't
kinda
care.
That's kind of got a Loud Cup feel.
Yesterday, yesterday was a day. Yesterday was a day. We have them. I wish we didn't have them, but between getting the show on the air yesterday and then middle of the day with a little whining from the great masses, everything has been resolved today. And we are ready to go. So the cruise is going to be from December 5th through the 8th. It's a weekend cruise to the Bahamas and a private island and an absolutely wonderful ship. And we can't wait to see all of you. We've got a bunch of people that have already booked the cabins for this. And it's really, really exciting. We can't wait to see you on the cruise. December 5th through the 8th, the TMOS Love Boat Cruise. And that's all I have to say about it.
If you want to make your reservation, it's only like $110.
Yeah, because there is a payment plan as well. And
they break it down. You just got to call that number.
Please join us for that. So last night, I usually do this around the Oscars, either before or right after. Mm-hmm. I wanted to. I felt like I'd misfired by watching The Brutalist, which was a about a 9-hour movie that featured Best Actor Adrian Brody.
I was thinking, did it seem as long as The Irishman? Because that's a good recent thing to compare it to that was really
maybe
long.
Longer.
Really? Because I think the
Irishman had
was three
had,
nights for me. Yeah.
Well, the Irishman had violence. So the Irishman had more, and the Brutalist has a little of it, but the Irishman was a gangster movie, and that kind of makes it
that
go
helps.
Quicker.
Yeah.
The Brutalist has an actual intermission in it. So that was one of the things that I was looking for.
The Brutalist is 5 minutes longer
than the
Irishman.
The self-indulgent nature of these movies gets to me, but then I saw a trailer for Anora, which was the one about the escort / topless dancer, bottomless dancer.
They thanked all the hookers.
I'm here to say the Academy gave the award to a porno. No, I'm not that old a fart. I don't need to say that.
Mike,
it
has been so long since I've heard the phrase a bottomless dancer.
I think
you just sold a lot of movie tickets right there.
Well, the thing about Anora is that I know in the description at some point it says comedy, and I have to tell you that there are moments that are funny but not slapstick funny. It's more or less just the situation was funny. It's like no movie I've ever seen. It was totally unique. Did I love it? No. Did I love the characters? No. Did I love the story? No. Did I like the movie? Yes, I liked
weird.
The movie, but
is there anyone in the plot you can root for? Like, is there someone that you're rooting for, or is it like nihilistic and it's just a story about bad people?
I don't know whether being a guy that I can answer that, because it's a little conflicting for someone who has been to those type of establishments and knows the way that works. There's certainly a lot of characters you can root against and not and dislike heartily, but
a lot of characters you can relate to.
No, there are not any characters relate
Mike,
to.
Mike, thematically, since they're similar, is it better or not as good as Showgirls?
Here it is about yes. modern filmmaking.
Please.
Right now, when you get to be longer in the tooth, you have to say to yourself, do I not like this because I'm old-fashioned and it's not... No, I can handle the sex scenes in
mature
there.
Mature themes?
I mean, there's a lot of sex in it. Not graphic sex, but there's plenty of borderline graphic sex mm-hmm. in this movie.
Did that help it win Best Picture?
I will tell you this. It is not... Oh, God. It's hard to describe. At the end of the movie, I sat there and went, Best Picture. Okay. It just was there, and The Brutalist, same exact thing. I looked at it and went, okay. But
that's my problem with the Best Picture Award, is it's never a movie that everyone sees.
It doesn't seem like it is very often.
Anora made $15 million in theaters.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, the industry has changed, and, I mean, no one's going to the theater anymore.
Theater.
So everything's being watched at home. Can you think of a movie over the past 12 or 13 months that wowed you in such a way that you thought, wow, that's being ignored? I mean, for example, The Substance was notable, but that's not a Best Picture.
I now have retreated to my jive revenge movies. Because if you're saying, what's a movie that delivered for me, Carla would roll her eyes and laugh because I would say it was The Equalizer 3. And then the other one, when did Nobody come out with Bob Odenkirk?
I think that's 2 years.
That's another
more than that. That's a great film.
That's another revenge movie, and I love revenge movies because I am so turned off by modern filmmaking because the goal seems to be to make something that is not a cliche, which is fine because I've railed against cliches in the past. I've hated the fact that, but I think now the lack of cliche would be making a traditional kind of feel-good movie, and The Brutalist and Anora not feel good. I didn't get by the subtitles for Amelia Perez. Is that the other movie that was nominated? But this one, if you really want to know, if you're a Quentin Tarantino fan, the girl that stars in Anora is the girl that was the Manson family girl in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the little girl that gets just brutally shot to flamethrowered to death in Leonardo DiCaprio's pool. And at the end of the day, she's very attractive. She's very fit, but there's just it just ends. It just ends, and there it is.
I've seen that so much lately.
So tired of that.
It just ends. The Bob Odenkirk movie was 4 years ago, 2021, and I'm wondering.
This girl's gonna get home safe tonight. That's not a quality movie.
Your love of revenge films, do they go back as far as say like Death Wish?
I didn't like Death Wish because I didn't like Charles Bronson. And if you don't like
how do you not like Charles Bronson?
Well, I like Bill Hader's impression of Charles Bronson.
Okay,
I like
better.
The fact that Bill Hader talks about a series of stand-up comedians that do impressions of Charles Bronson. But I didn't. The Death Wish movies, you can go back, speaking of the late Gene Hackman, we'll have him some more about him in the news. The French Connection much more stands up over time, much better.
Okay.
Than Death Wish.
Let me throw out another genre then, because I always liked growing up, Mike, the Walking Tall movies.
Oh, the Walking Tall movies for me. See, if you go far enough back, you get into the, I know Walking Tall could get me a little TNA.
Yeah.
Which was a nice deal for me.
That's your revenge.
Back to Anora, at the very bottom of the description says comedy, and it does have a comical quality. But here it is. They're not going to burden you with any storyline detail that they would consider superfluous. And what I mean by that is that the, you know, it's the story of an oligarch's son who's out on the town and spending his dad's money. But you're not going to find any detail about the oligarch, and you're not going to find any the movie gives you very little. You've got to figure out a great deal on your own to see what's going on. And it's not overly complex. Oligarch's son meets exotic dancer slash hooker, allegedly falls in love, and
you know,
and then it ends.
Josh brings up a really good point. I thought he might have overstated it, but I'm looking at the Best Picture winners for the past 20 years or so.
Okay, let's move back. Anora all the way back, and I'll tell you
And how much real quick did you pay to watch Anora?
Anora allowed me to rent it.
Yeah.
And Brutalist did not allow me to rent it.
Anora was $12 to watch it, but $30 if you wanted her to stay the night.
At least $5.99 for a rental on
it. That's not bad.
It'll be on Hulu on March 17th.
Get ready for that.
For your St. Patrick's Day party.
Very exciting.
And I got to step out for a moment because the kids left for school and left the front door wide open.
Oh, my God. We'll see you in a moment. Rob, so go back from Anora all the way through, and then we'll – because I think there has been a bit of a trend, but I'm not sure.
I can't think of a movie that I see on the first page that applied to me. 2025, Anora.
Yeah.
2024, Oppenheimer. I did see that in the theater. Okay. But not a cruiser.
Another. I don't want to say they're all self-indulgent, but another massively long film about a historical figure that at least gave you a little bit more than the pictures this year. The pictures.
All right, let's look at the pictures now. Moving backwards from 2023.
Okay.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
I have tried.
Mm-hmm.
On three occasions,
kids love that movie. So I don't know.
Then that's one where might be another example of time passing me by.
Yeah. Coda.
Lots of CGI.
Coda. I've wanted to watch. That's the deaf kid. That's the Apple TV movie. It keeps recommending it to me.
Okay.
And Best Picture.
Yep. These are all Best Pictures. Right. Nomadland in 2021.
First time I've heard of it.
Yeah. Well, I don't recall this one.
I know I might have watched it, but it's not
memorable.
It had
Frances McDormand. Yeah. Okay, then we got Parasite, Green Book.
Hold on. What the? Okay. Slow down.
Right. Parasite was the foreign one.
That was Korean. That was a Korean film.
Movie. Yep. It had Bong Joon-ho in it, Mike.
No, that was Anora.
Okay, Green Book 2019.
Phenomenal. There's the first one that, in my humble opinion, was a beautiful semi-biopic that told a story about race in America, and I thought it was that's the best, in my opinion, of the last 5 years. That to me is that the Green Book was
that
you
was
know,
2019.
I could wrap my head around that movie. I got that movie.
The Shape of Water, 2018.
I saw that one. It was weird.
Okay.
Here's
another one that does not ring a bell for me. 2017, Moonlight.
Moonlight was a story of a gay black man, and it was okay. It was not something that certainly wouldn't be described as a feel-good film.
All right. Spotlight in 2016.
That was a biopic. Not a biopic, but that was the story of
the Catholic Church, right?
The Catholic Church in Baltimore. I believe it was Baltimore.
No,
it might have been Boston.
It was Boston.
And the journalists at the Boston Globe who, tried to get that story out into the
mainstream. So, Mike, you're talking about there's no feel-good movies out there. That movie's only 9 years
old. I don't mind a lack of feel-good movies. It's just I want a story that I understand.
Okay.
I want a story that doesn't make my brain work too hard. Right. It's still entertainment. Right?
And I think that's the first one on the list that I've seen. And that was one of those two where it was from the newspaper perspective.
You guys didn't see the Green Book about the black piano player, the pianist who travels the South, and he has a kind
driver.
Of an Italian guy played by Viggo Mortensen. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
The Shape of Water.
The Shape of Water. You already mentioned.
Okay, I'm sorry. Moonlight.
You okay?
Spotlight.
I thought I was the older one.
No, you're fine, Mike. And then Birdman. 2015, we seem to make a little bit of a shift at 2015 moving back, because Birdman, I think, was sort of a, it leaned a little more mainstream. And I think
what was, please enlighten me as to Birdman.
That was Keaton, Birdman, right?
Yeah, Michael Keaton.
Wasn't that Michael Keaton?
Mm-hmm. And he was like a mock superhero, wasn't he, or something like that?
Yeah, like an old guy or washed up or something, okay. Superhero. Yeah.
Right. 2014, 12 Years a Slave.
An epic and a very easy movie to understand. But that, no, I think, you know, as opposed to Birdman, 12 Years a Slave might be the last one that was very, very talked about, that everybody was aware of, and that got a lot of media leading up to it, which I don't mind.
In 2013, though, I think is a movie, the last time that a real mainstream, sort of like a Hollywood movie hit, and that's Argo.
See, I think 12 Years a Slave is a mainstream Hollywood movie.
Really, you do?
In that it was a topic that everybody knew about, okay. And it got a lot of buzz. Argo, the Ben Affleck movie about Iran, that was another biggie. But now we're getting more, you know, you see the little bit of a change. And I think that right around that era, going up to the present, it's do you think it reflects?
It's movies we've seen.
Yeah.
Would it be safe to say that our taste in movies represents where Hollywood is moving away from mainstream America?
Yeah.
That's the feeling I get.
Right where you left off, Mike.
Well, also, is now cheaper to buy and easier for anyone to make a movie, distribute it, get it out there. So it's not just the big blockbusters that are in theaters.
It was weird for me, and I don't want to sound like a prude, and I've been to gentlemen's clubs, and I thank you for applauding. I will tell you this. When they're up there, I guess they did their research, but thanking the sex workers, I think that's fine. I just felt as though...
I've always done that in my speeches.
Yeah, I've always been very generous with tipping.
Well, regard. When you prepare for a role, you go work it for 24 hours?
I think that's probably, that has a lot to do with it. Where,
you want to rephrase that, Josh?
And it was, I think it was very accurate in the way those places were portrayed with the VIP rooms and everything going on.
Was O'Mara's cleaner?
Stop it.
O'Mara's had women dancing on the bar for a time before they said we couldn't.
I think that a big turning year was 2012. When I feel this is almost sort of like a stunt winner, 2012 is when they did the black and white silent movie, The Artist. Now, I liked that movie just fine, but it's not a best picture, not by a long shot. No. And the fact that they made a black and white silent film.
So I think, you know what we're proving here? We're going back over a decade now.
Yeah.
You're proving that every now and then. It goes year to year. I don't think it's a trend. I think it goes year to year based on what's available and what's out there. And you get certain films that are, talked about and really talked about from year to year. Sometimes they're not. You didn't have any this year that were really, really, that had a tremendous buzz. And, and that happens. And I think it's just like a great comedy comes along once in a while. A great film.
Yeah.
And a great film to me is not only critically acclaimed, is not only artistic, but is also mass consumption. And everybody gets to see it and everybody talks about it.
I think the last many
people like it.
That I can think of in that genre, and I would love to say Elvis, but it's not because it's niche. It's a beautiful, wonderful film, but it's not for everybody.
Oh, yeah, but that's you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I think that the last big movie like that I can think of is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Was that nominated?
I don't know if it was even nominated, but it got everyone to the theater. Everyone talked about it. Everyone liked it. And it had a dark ending, certainly. But I think that's the last movie that really made me want to go to the theater.
And when Tarantino does something like rewrites history...
Yeah.
You know that he's rewriting history because you've read that he's rewriting history.
Yeah, that's what he does.
And when he does that, when he relitigates World War II or the Manson family, he does it in a fun way. I mean, as someone who grew up in that era, was scared of Charles Manson, reading about and seeing Charles Manson on the news and hearing about those horrible Tate LaBianca murders, and then to go into a film as an older guy and see him, you know, wackadoodle all the Manson family was richly satisfying. And the genius of Tarantino is that he figures out, hey, I can do this. And it's in his own twisted way, it's a feel-good film.
It is. It is.
And so
the good guys win.
Yeah. And so is blowing away the Nazis to the point where their faces disintegrate. Where you see Hitler's face disintegrate. That's feel-good to me.
You're right.
Look, I know we're maybe overanalyzing it, but to me, I watched two of the most talked-about films of 2024, and I'm sitting there at the end, you know, 1/1000, 2/1000, just sitting there.
But they are not the most talked about movies of 2024. They were for the Oscars, but not for normal people.
You know, are there any 2024 movies that were talked about?
I think.
Besides Marvel movies.
I was going to say, I think the Deadpool movie got a lot of talk.
Yeah. Right. But you know what? Oscar doesn't like Deadpool, Mike.
You know what got the most talk? What got the most talk was a feud between stars, Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively. That's the Hollywood story this year. It's just, I don't think you can read any more into it. I think it happens, but it's just a strange little situation that it's me. And watch it, both of them. You can watch. I'm not going to recommend you watch the Brutalist.
The top money making movies of 2024.
Please lay that on me.
Inside Out 2. Deadpool, Moana 2, Despicable Me 4, Beetlejuice, Wicked, Dune 2, Twisters, Mufasa, Sonic the Hedgehog, Kung Fu Panda 4, Bad Boys, Ride or Die. It's all sequels.
I'm going to go see Inside Out.
I saw Dune 2. That's it. That's the one I saw. I saw Despicable Me with my kid in the theater and found it, you know, entertaining. But that's the way it's probably always been. The big blockbusters are not
the whole
necessarily
family
art films.
I wonder if this is the way America sort of felt in the early 50s when television was starting to compete with going to the movies for entertainment. Because now everything we watch is at home. Mm-hmm. And Hollywood is going to have to reinvent itself if it wants us to go to the theater because it's a hassle and it's expensive.
It's hard to tell. It's really hard to tell. I will leave you with a factoid and I'm pretty sure I'm bringing this into the bonus show as well on Friday. But let me just share this with you. And don't look at your screens to find any information out. I am going to ask you a question and see if either one of you know the answer.
All right.
There is a detail about the personal life of Adrian Brody. Do you know what it is?
His nose?
No, isn't it? Isn't it like one of his legs or his foot is bigger than the other?
No. It is his.
Does he have the gift of second sight?
It is his. It is his love interest.
You mean he's married, right?
I think he is living with this lady, but I don't know if he's
Is
married.
It that he threw his gum at her?
Nope.
You missed
the big story. No. Adrian Brody lives with Harvey Weinstein's ex. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
It makes him even weirder.
Yeah, it does.
kind of strange, right?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of strange. And, you know, we're three dudes. Let's talk about it like dudes. When you're talking about, you know, going where Harvey's been, that is just a little.
I mean, Mike, I'm okay with going to like a department store and buying a factory second.
I don't want to
like
be sexist.
An end table. No.
And I'm being sexist here, so I should shut up.
Really.
But the fact is that it's just a little odd that with that massive scandal, and apparently she started, separated, divorced, the whole thing, as soon as all the allegations about Harvey came out, they have two children, and during his 14-minute speech, he referenced these kids that apparently he is stepdad to now, which I found Really, really. And she is lovely, by the way. She
do
is
the kids,
lovely.
Do the kids favor their father?
I don't know. I didn't see the kids. But did you... Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Until I mentioned it to you right here. And I never heard of it until I was doing some research for the show this morning.
I love children.
I didn't know.
Mike. I love kids. I think kids are I believe the children are our future. But
I don't those think the kids have anything to do with dad at all.
Okay. No. But there's still a chance they might be damaged goods.
You never know, but it's pretty amazing.
She is.
What's that?
I think she has to be damaged.
How could you not be? That. Going through that. And it seems strange that during his speech, when and all he's getting the attention for is the length of the speech, but then people did a little more research because when it turned out, I was kind of gobstruck when I realized that his love interest is the ex of Harvey Weinstein.
You know what's
That's
wild
just
is
amazing.
That goes
really.
To show she really doesn't have a type because... Adrian Brody doesn't have a
Or
walker.
Does she?
Oh, do you think Adrian Brody behind the scenes?
No. I would say if you're talking generically and you're talking
famous
about
people?
men who do Money. Not possess classic good matinee idol looks, perhaps that's what I think she does have a type. She is not burdened by a desire to be with a pretty individual.
That's true, but Mike, now she's at least got an individual with no walker.
This is true.
That's better. That's a step
I think up. I think the walker might be just for, for prison and court and stuff like that.
I understand, yes.
Now, Harvey is over on Rikers Island, but
he's
he did put out
he's
a
doing
statement
his time in Rikers, yes.
That he is happy that his kids are being loved and cared for as they deserve to be.
He said that when Adrian referenced them at the Oscars. And by the way, the world is populated by beautiful women everywhere who... have taken up with men who do not share their beauty. Hi, Carla. I really wanted to, I wanted to share that.
And that's hello it. To Carrie, to
I,
be quite
I
just, honest.
I know. Yeah, you'll always get yours in. That's it. I mean, I have to really. Does she hit you if I do that and you don't get your little one in there, too?
No, she doesn't care.
I wonder that sometimes. She doesn't care.
No, about anything.
Oh, wow. Okay. Sorry. the thing about it is, I think that it just stopped me in my tracks because I don't remember ever anybody talking about the greatest scandal in the history of Hollywood, and Adrian Brody, who's nominated for an Oscar, is shacking up with Harvey Weinstein.
They just tend to
just surprised me we didn't hear more about it.
I mean, that kind of thing can get overlooked. Carrie in high school dated Joseph Goebbels. And I just thought, I've overlooked it. I'm past it.
So. Yeah. You never think about it. It's just a strange happenstance. And I would imagine that when she was in the throes of this scandal.
I didn't know what you were going to say.
No, it was probably very difficult. I would imagine if you're going to be empathetic and not only the speculation as to what she knew, what she didn't know. Yeah. I would imagine that things were extremely difficult for her in the world of being out there and finding other people to love. And that's, in a way, a good thing that the fact that she's had a loving, wonderful relationship with Adrian Brody would speak to the fact that maybe she didn't have anything to do with this creep Harvey Weinstein.
Well, she got divorced in 2017, and they said
it was finalized
in
2017. Yeah.
Well, that's when she announced that she was leaving.
Oh, I thought it was earlier than that. When did he get? I thought it was all the way back earlier. But what were you going to say, Rob? I'm sorry.
Do you suspect maybe it's as easy as like maybe Adrian Brody wears the same cologne as Weinstein, and that's what attracted her?
That's what that's what wets your popsicle. That's fine if that's what. You want to share with that one? But,
I would think that Weinstein's cologne, if any, would be very musky.
All I can say is this. There are labels put out by the right about Hollywood and the weird elite.
Yes.
I don't think this year's Oscars have done anything at all to take care of that problem. That's for sure. Salute, Hollywood. We'll take a break. We got some wonderful roundtable news coming up for you, ladies and gentlemen. And then later on in the show, a game that Rob's saying everybody's going to love. It's called Skin to Win. We're going to see what that's all about and more fun and more thrills. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And we'll be right this after back. Everybody.
Mike, we have a promo here for your enjoyment. Me, thank you.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
Our story begins here with coffee.
Coffee time!
Mr. Dingle, do you have the coffee?
Oh, coffee, yes. Yes, yes. Come in, coffee.
Coffee.
I'm going to need a coffee.
You want some coffee?
Could I have another cup of coffee, please?
He really enjoyed coffee, and then in the end, he was enjoyed as coffee.
Coffee can only make me nervous when I drink it.
If you think Fresh Perk flavor just comes in a tin, you haven't tried
Charlie's Choice.
Crafted in small batches with notes of smooth caramel, deep cocoa, and sweet honey from St. Augustine, Florida, the coffee capital of the world.
For something new, you can brew.
Buy a bag or get a subscription through the store at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Start your day right with Charlie's Choice.
Good to the last sip. Yummy.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, I hate garbage, but I love rubbish. What? Shut up and let me explain. Rubbish is a brand.
Yeah.
There it is. There's your rubbish right there. Perfect. It's a brand that makes the ultimate garbage bags. Compostable, non-toxic, and PFAS free. So you can take out the trash, which you'll do 8,000 times in your life.
Ugh.
That's true. With bags that actually give back. They donate 10% to charity and include a fresh, funny saying in every box. See what mine has here. I'm opening it up right here. Hold on just a
This
second.
Is great. Mike has got a box of rubbish brand bags right in front of him. Right. What I love about this is they deliver them right to your door. You can subscribe so you don't have to think about ever buying trash bags again. It just, they just happen.
Don't open up the box like Mike did.
Well, he was eager to get at his trash bags.
There's a nice perforated top where then you can pull them out
could.
One at a time.
I mean, if you want to do that, you could. Mike is getting out his bag.
Yeah.
He's going for a second one now, I think?
I think now he's trying to go through the perforated top instead of the side.
This is a good video day. Oh, there's Mike's bags.
There you go.
See?
Like tissues.
Just pull one out, and then there's another one right there.
I'm just opening up the same here. We're the bag half full. That's the one you have.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like you normally compare your trash bags with your friends.
It's an interesting and it's got material, too. It's very cool. I love
it's
rubbish.
Silky. It's silky feeling, yeah.
Funny saying in every box, like this one, to make trash day suck less. So, jerky, like my jerky, my friend jerky?
No, just listen, jerky. That's like from the jerky boys.
Instead of wasting $20 on a TV streaming service that won't even let you rent new movies, you should spend way less on top-tier trash bags with built-in comedy.
That you can eat. Mike, do not put the bag over your head. That's not safe. Don't do it.
Hold on.
Mike found the drawstring.
Hold on. We're talking about rubbish.
Yeah, Mike is modeling his rubbish brand bags. You take the trash 8,000 times.
We're taping early today, and I'm having a little motor coordination issue.
You're doing excellent, Mike. A lot of people don't know this, but during the show, Mike talks through an iPad, and he's doing a great job today.
I really want to see if I can get the seal.
That'll be perfect for a nice swim cap.
That's really would. On a boat. Hint, hint. So many pools on the seaside. Oh, and he's tying it. Perfect. Mike, you really do look like you got it going on now.
But that wasn't even in the ad copy.
No.
Hey, Engelbert Humperdinck.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Anyway, what am I doing? You should spend way less. Hold on a second.
The amazing Omarinac.
You should spend way less on top-tier trash bags with built-in comedy. That's our friends at Rubbish.
Yep.
Easy choice. You deserve the best garbage bags money can buy, so Rubbish created them. Rubbish is running a 30% off sale, and you can get an extra 5% off by going to rubbishhome.com and using the code TMOS. That's an extra 5% off for a total of 35% off your order. Do it today. Go to rubbishhome.com and use our code TMOS. I should stop fooling around and just tell you about the wonderful product that we have, ladies and gentlemen. Hit the music, Slim. Thank you.
Everyone knows my birth records were lost, Mike.
It took a lot of letter writing. But unfortunately, that's it. Do you have my whoosh over there in studio producer? Thank you, Pete.
There's the whoosh.
There's still no word on how Gene Hackman and his wife Betsy Arakawa died, but someone posed an interesting theory, and that someone, God, is this guy still alive? Dr. Michael Baden. I've seen this guy
good
all over
God,
the news.
Yeah, he's been around forever.
A world-famous forensic pathologist. No, he's not working on the case, but he's seen the reports, and he says this is how it might have gone down. I read this. I'm not sure I agree.
All right.
Given the evidence from Gene's pacemaker, Baden says he may have suffered a cardiac arrest and collapsed. As you may recall, Betsy was found on the floor in the bathroom with a space heater on the floor next to her and an open prescription bottle on the counter with pills scattered everywhere. Baden says she may have run to the bathroom to get Gene's blood pressure medication and fallen herself. It's possible she had a cardiac event of her own. She wasn't known to be in bad health, but she was 65 and under severe stress. I don't read much into that. That's me every day.
And what about the dog, though?
Yeah. Well, it could have just been an accidental fall, which caused her to hit her head. Authorities found no evidence of blunt force trauma, but she could have suffered an internal injury, like a brain bleed, that didn't leave a mark. As for the dog that died that you mentioned, Josh, it was constrained in its cage or kennel. So it probably died from dehydration because it didn't have access to water for 9 days. Baden's theory would also explain why Betsy didn't call 911. Her first priority was getting to Gene's medication, and she died in the process. Not sure, because the investigation is ongoing, whether we will ever know what's going on.
You could make anything. Was the space heater on, does it say?
It does not.
Because that would really speed mummification, wouldn't it? Hot, dry air like that?
I don't know.
Hmm. Does it open up into a larger suite?
I don't know. Okay. But that's interesting, and I guess we'll find out more as they continue with the details of everything. All right, we were talking about them. We're still talking about them a couple of days later, even though they're movies that were weird and nobody saw. The Oscars will never be over as long as we keep talking about them. Here is the latest. Adrian Brody set an Oscar record with his acceptance speech.
Boo.
Yeah. Double boo. 5 minutes and 40 seconds. The previous record was 5 minutes and 30 seconds, set by actress Greer Garson all the way back in 1943.
Wow, that would be for Mrs. Miniver then?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's not the only way Brody annoyed people. He's getting a lot of blowback for taking his gum out of his mouth and tossing it to his girlfriend. This is when the girlfriend, you mean Harvey's ex?
Yeah, exactly.
So it says they're not married, they're boyfriend and girlfriend. Songwriter Diane Warren tied the record for most Oscar nominations without ever winning. This is Susan Lucci territory.
Yeah.
Sunday night was her 16th loss.
God, that's got to suck. Oh,
I would
my God,
imagine,
can you imagine?
I would imagine it's really tough to avoid sucking
with
that, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Sean Baker became the first filmmaker to win 4 Oscars for the same movie, the aforementioned Anora, for writing, directing, editing, and producing Anora. Not surprisingly,
and hiring all the hookers.
auditioning all the hookers.
excuse me.
Hookers always makes my cough.
Not surprisingly, the majority of Americans think the Will Smith slap is the most memorable Oscars moment of all time and will probably never be topped.
I disagree. I think the most memorable one was the group selfie with Kevin Spacey. I like
Oh,
that.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
Weird moment. Meanwhile, Chris Rock is not ruling hosting the Oscars. He's not ruling it out for hosting the Oscars again, and I think that would be a very, very good choice.
But was he hosting, or was he just doing a segment when he got slapped? No, he was just hosting. Doing a bit.
He was. I thought he was the host.
Yeah, he was hosting.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, because that was the...
He was the host, and I think we all can agree Conan was just fine, but nothing over the top crazy. I still think the gold standard is Ricky Gervais, and even when you talk about Nikki Glaser at the Golden Globes, it was good.
Yeah,
it just but Ricky Gervais just
Mike,
has
no,
thing
no,
going.
Mike, Bob Hope, and I'm just sorry that we couldn't get him one more time before he passed.
I want to tell you, if you got him.
Forbes has released a list of the highest paid actors of 2024. Here they are. Speaking of Will Smith, 26 mil. Adam Sandler at 26 mil. Will Smith still at 26 mil. Wow. Royalties, I guess.
Yeah, he
Adam Sandler,
it.
26. And I'll be, these are all in millions.
All right.
Nicole Kidman, 31 mil. Good for her. She works her ass off.
Yep.
George Clooney at 31. Brad Pitt at 32. Hugh Jackman at 50. Jerry Seinfeld at 60 million. Kevin Hart, 81 million. Ryan Reynolds, 85 million. And I called it a decade ago minimum.
Yep.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. $88 million.
You
and
did,
I was
Mike.
Summarily mocked when I said he will be a massive Hollywood star.
You got it. You nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Seinfeld should be allowed to be on there based on the Pop-Tart movie. I think
How
he
about
lose
B
it.
Movie? How about B movie?
Well, that was his first misstep. That was
You
the
go
worst.
Back and look at arguably one of the most brilliant sitcoms of all time, Seinfeld,
yep.
And you go back and look at it. And as brilliant as it is with the concepts and how it's executed, it is such a good sitcom that the just abysmal acting ability of Jerry Seinfeld is overcome by it.
Yeah.
That's
elevates
the truth.
Him. Uh-huh.
That absolutely elevates him. And, you know, he's the creator. He, with Larry David, came up with the entire concept. He gets all that credit. As an actor, you know, they didn't need him to be great because of those characters you had
right.
with Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Michael Richards and Jason Alexander. You had these guys. So I think when you talk about television, it's iconic. But I see your point about when you're talking about the actors of all time. It's kind of weird to see him on those lists. But,
weak.
You know,
very
he was.
Weak. And, you know, I mean, Seinfeld also, I think Seinfeld and Friends are in the same sort of strata that they were really perfect for the times.
Right.
But I don't think they've aged particularly well.
You don't think Seinfeld's as a show has aged well?
It's still good. It's still good, but it's not sensational like it was in the day because all the barriers and first-time things they did, they've been done now, and we've seen them. So
well,
I don't think it's as chilling.
And that is true, and that's part of the problem. Now that Seinfeld is streaming, college kids are starting to watch it, and they're saying this isn't funny.
Yeah.
I've seen this before.
Yeah.
That's
not
true.
Good.
That's the way it goes. And, you know, that's why people say do things like a reboot and you don't. That's the one thing I hate the way he said it, but I totally agree with stopping Seinfeld when he did. I agree with the idea Seinfeld had. He did it in a very sanctimonious way.
Well, yeah, but
you know,
I mean,
the audience
just
is like a child and all that crap. But doing it was great.
He was taking a page from Jackie Gleason and then Dick Van Dyke after that. I mean, it's just knowing when your tank is empty and you have no more.
I think you give them too much credit. I think Jerry Seinfeld came along at a different time in television history where finales and keeping things going and sequels were much more part of the culture, the landscape of television entertainment. I think Jerry was one who probably had much more pressure. Gleason just didn't feel like doing it. Period. I mean, how many episodes of The Honeymooners did we get?
Well, if after you get rid of like the sketches and ones that were like not standalone shows, there's
hardly any, right?
39. That's it.
39.
The great 39.
So it's not the same as Seinfeld. It's not, you know?
But I think Jerry was just tired of doing it.
You think
I think he made. I think he made enough money
every week to the bank, yes, to cash a check.
Oof. And I think it was the entire team because they could have easily turned to a spinoff.
Yeah, yeah,
they could have, but he didn't. And I respect that. What I didn't respect was the way he talked about it with the audience.
Oh, horrible! Yeah.
Is yes. going to want things that aren't good for them. It's like it's a television show. Get over it.
Really quick, Mike. While you're talking about reboots, I have a question. I know you're the biggest Denzel fan.
Yeah, love him.
And last night recommended to me, and I can't
hated
believe
Gladiator 2, though. Hated it.
I can't
it.
Believe I'd never watched it, and it is 15 yep. years old. But his reboot of The Manchurian Candidate, have you ever seen that?
I probably have, but I'll go back and check it out again.
I got about an hour into it before bed last night, and I will finish it. It takes some pretty...
Is that the 15... Because it sounded like you were talking about Gladiator 2 was 15 years
no,
ago.
No, I'm talking about The Manchurian Candidate.
The Manchurian Candidate was originally done by Frank Sinatra, right?
Right, and I didn't realize that Denzel's was produced by Frank's daughter, Tina Sinatra, because they own the property.
21 years ago.
21 years ago. But, I mean, I'm almost a student of the original. They've done some turns plot-wise, but it's pretty good, and I'm wondering, as a Denzel guy, what you thought of it. So take
I'd have to go back and look because I haven't seen everything obviously that he's done, but I'd like to check that out. And but it was really a bummer that he took the paycheck. I'm just gonna
one of the things
that.
I will always
a lot of gribblies down here in the air down here, ladies and gentlemen.
I will always respect about Denzel is that he did Letterman once to promote a movie. And Letterman was different than the Tonight Show. Once a guest was done, they were out. Denzel asked to stay on the panel when Rickles came out just so Don Rickles could insult him.
Oh, it's great. Fun.
And it was sensational. I love Denzel just for that. Yeah.
I mean, I'll check that out because, I mean, it's a classic movie and I'd love to see his take. Hall & Oates can't be done forever. They'll patch things up sooner or later, right? No. Wrong. Doesn't sound like it. Daryl Hall was asked if he would ever reunite with John Oates, and he said, quote, "That ship has gone to the bottom of the ocean."
Oh, dear.
"I've had a lot of surprises in my life, disappointments, betrayals, so I'm kind of used to it." Hall also went for the jugular, saying he wrote most of their songs. Quote, "The songs with his lead vocal are the songs he wrote. And all the other ones, which is about 90%, are the ones that were, all right, okay. Yeah, look, you know what? I'm in a partnership that didn't end beautifully. But I'm not. When you have that kind of success, you can't ignore. Every situation is different, but every now and then I get an opportunity where I can say a few words about the Don and Mike show. You know, Don and I went our separate ways, and probably neither one of us was really, happy about, how the whole thing ended. It was difficult. It was tough. We've moved on. We don't have contact. It happens in the business of show more often. But if I was to just poo-poo, as Daryl Hall is doing here, the body of work that was done collaboratively, that just makes you a jerk and a lightweight. And I don't discount the fact that Don and I had a really good chemistry and did some really, really good stuff. And that he was, and I've said this all along, nobody could spot trends better than he could and take advantage of those trends. And I really think that if I was to, put that aside, were there difficulties? There were lots of difficulties. It was a difficult environment to work in. But at the same time, I've always thought when you move on, the temptation is there to slam people that you've worked collaboratively with because it doesn't always end nicely. And in my case, it's frustrating. But if you just dwell on that and you throw darts, you're really kind of throwing darts at yourself.
Good point.
And I don't like to do that because everybody I have worked with in my career collaboratively has brought something to the table at the time, and I it's part of what I've done. And if I was to just diss everybody because they don't work with me anymore, first of all, I'd be much more unhappy than I am. Mm-hmm. And secondly, life goes on. You move forward, and you wish them the best, and I genuinely do. Believe it or not, everybody, no matter what the circumstances, I wish everybody
at the bottom of the ocean.
The ship, are you talking about my ship with Don?
Yes, your ship.
I don't ever look. The bottom line is, if Don and I run into each other and I see some, I see Don somewhere, and you know, I'm walking up to him, and I probably would expect him to do the same to me. Mm-hmm. We have never, you know, it has moved on. There have been hurt feelings in the past, and that's just the way it is. But whenever you do something collaboratively, everybody says, "Get back together, get back together, get back together." The way I can best articulate this is that when there are hurt feelings like there were, I speak for myself, not for him. I speak for myself personally. I don't want to experience the hurt feelings again. And it reminds me of...
I don't want to be reminded.
It reminds me of that. That's what keeps the distance on my end. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all it is. And,
what about if you were at a party and Jeff Shamrock was there?
I'd give him a big wet kiss.
You jerk. Not me. I'd punch him.
You were just jealous of Shamrock.
I was.
You wanted to be Shamrock.
I did.
You wanted to be on the radio with me, and I wanted you to be on the radio with me in producing, but it didn't work out that
and
way.
Then even though I lobbied for you. Concert, so, you know.
And then he did, yes. Rob was always obsessed with Jeff Shamrock, who was the producer for me only for like a year.
Yeah,
at another radio station.
And
he
showed his worth.
But I mean, somebody ought to tell Daryl Hall, the songs with his lead vocal are the songs he wrote. All the other ones, about 90%, are the ones I wrote. Yeah, but Hall & Oates was the group.
Yeah,
that was it was the body of work that you did under that name. So I think it makes you look light when you do that. So
if they ever doubt their success, ask any disc jockey of Mike's era, and they will tell him they were sick of playing their music.
Oh God, that's for sure. Right to the end. There are classic rock songs now I hear, and I want to vomit.
I think their only song that I will still listen to is METHODOFLOVE. That's the Method of Modern Love. Boo!
Mine would be Mama, I'm Coming Home by Ozzy Osbourne. Sorry, Jimmy. Finally today, a 43-year-old woman in Florida, her name, Natavita Auguste, was arrested for aggravated battery after she stabbed her boyfriend. The guy said they were arguing over his reluctance to eat her cooking. Unfortunately, there's no word what she made. He told police she was swinging an 8-inch knife at him, and it gashed his forearm when he tried to defend himself. That's called, in police circles, Keith Morrison would call that a defensive wound. She admits that they were arguing over her cooking, but says she struck him with a napkin holder, not a butcher knife. In any event, the guy will be fine. He received stitches. Snitches get stitches.
Always, Mike. Remember
and,
this.
And he was released. Police identified later on what she was cooking.
What was it?
Meth.
Oh,
we
no.
have to take a break, and we will come back with Skin to Win right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, America's new favorite comedy game show.
With
get it?
5 big ways to win big, Mike.
Yeah, and cooking meth. I like that one. Just came to me in a cold sweat. 5 big ways to win coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show. Arr. I'm not going to say I will never say R for another TMOS Love Boat commercial.
Okay,
I
done.
Won't.
It's done. It's done.
Avast ye.
Yeah.
You know how it gets cold each and every December, Burr?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It starts my timbers shivering, but it's better in the Bahamas, so get ready. All aboard. No, that's a train. I'm sorry. All aboard the TMOS Love Boat. Our first ever party on the high seas.
Woo!
Join the Mike O'Mara Show crew for an unforgettable weekend aboard the stunning MSC Seaside. We set sail from Miami Beach on Friday, December 5th. Kicking off the evening with an exclusive TMOS cocktail party. Saturday, explore Nassau by day and enjoy a live TMOS show on ship that night. Sunday, relax on a private island, then battle it out in the TMOS Team Jeopardy competition. Then on Monday, return to Miami with memories for a lifetime. Your voyage includes all your meals, the beverage package, $50 onboard credit, the Wi-Fi package, plus an exclusive TMOS Love Boat gift bag, and, of course, access to all the TMOS events for free. Interior, ocean view, and balcony cabins available, but balconies sell out fast. Secure your spot with a small deposit and ask about the easy payment plan. Book now at tmoscruise.com. Questions, email cruise@mikeomerashow.com. This is huge. Don't miss out. Reserve your cabin today at tmoscruise.com. There we go, Rob. That's the way I like it. Right there. And turn that horn off. Time for a little game show fun, Mr. Spiewak.
Yes. You know, we ask a lot of our listener, and they always come up. They always measure up, and I thank you for that. I think it's time we give back, as I'd like to introduce a brand-new game show, and it's a limited run because we're limited by science on this one, Mike. But I had a checkup at my doctor last week, and everything was fine. Said I look good, adjusted my meds, so I should be happier in the next few days. But I did say, you know, doc, while I'm here, can you take care of a skin tag? And he said, you know, and this is deep, dark secret, is that technically that's a cosmetic procedure and it's not covered. But he helped me out, which was great. And he said, now we can snip it, which
did
is going
to... Did he tell you technically it was a cosmetic procedure?
He did. He said he's never been charged. He's never charged for them.
Yeah, well, but, I don't think he's doing you any kind of solid. I think every dermatologist in the world or every doctor, you know, does that. It's not like he may have been making you think he was doing something that, you know,
well,
they all do.
I think that's probably policy. I just don't think a lot of people enforce it.
So. It sounds like a waitress looking for a tip.
That's exactly how it sounds to me, too. Well, not to slam your doctor, Dr. Well, Giggles, but
if he did the snip, he would have gotten a tip. But he said if we snip it, It's going to bleed a lot. He said, that's a part of your body. It's going to bleed. I said, okay.
You froze it, right?
What are my other options? He said, we can freeze it off with liquid nitrogen.
Yeah.
And then it'll just essentially die and fall off in the next 10 days or so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mike, this is where we're giving back to the audience. As of this morning, it has not fallen off. So if you email me at rob@mikeomerashow.com, and guess what day it falls off, you will win the skin tag, provided I can find it after it falls off. And that is how you play Skin to Win. There are so many great collectibles out there of showbiz people. Like, for example, you know what? I bet there are people that would love to have the gum that Adrian Brody threw in Harvey Weinstein's girl.
Normally, you tag on the gross. You don't just start with it.
No, I'm leading with it.
And bring it straight in.
I'm leading with it. So, Mike, this is how you play Skin to Win. You need to email me, rob@mikeomerashow.com, and guess what day the skin tag will fall off. Now, again, once it is determined, I will do a random drawing backstage here at the Rob Radio World Broadcast Headquarters. And the winner, provided I'm able to retrieve the skin tag when it falls off. And I'm looking at it twice a day. Right now, it's starting to look like...
Where is it?
It's. I don't know that I'm comfortable telling people.
Is it in your armpit?
It is. But I won't tell you left or right. Well, no, Mike, remember when we used to work with a certain gentleman for Infinity, they were on the neck.
Oh, I've seen them on around the eyes, too.
Yeah. Oh, ooh, I don't like that.
For really fat people.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is
I always
under
thought,
the right
you know, when it's
arm.
Around the eyes, mm-hmm. I think that's. Aren't they caused by friction primarily? Like you're kind of rubbing the skin and that's
so.
The
yeah,
way
yeah,
it
yeah.
happens.
Uh-huh.
So if you had them around your eyes, that would mean that you were a chronic eye rubber.
And that's not a good habit, is it?
I don't know.
But Mike, if you want to play Skin to Win, all you have to do is send your guess to rob@mikeomerashow.com. As to when the skin tag will fall off. And remember,
you know how I feel right now, Josh?
I got nowhere else to go!
Yeah.
I'd like to be in another planet right now.
No, know? Mike, and you know what? This is the rarest thing of all.
An excellent day for an exorcism.
Mike, all employees of the Mike O'Mara Show are eligible. So you and Josh and Carla, you can... You can
and
all guess.
I won't play, so there's one less.
Well, no, I mean, you can't
I'll
win
pull
if you
out
don't
too.
Play.
I'd like to give the listeners a better chance.
All right, Andrew can play if he wants. Anyone associated with the show.
And
Andrew, our accountant?
Yes. Yes. I mean, Carla, a lot of
times. Seems like an expert. She should be disqualified.
Yeah. Carla does. I'm sure. Yeah. Has Carla? I don't think Carla is allowed to do that.
Well,
she
according
in the chat,
to yeah,
she has a machine.
Oh, she does. Okay, so then maybe she does do it.
So if it's still there at Jimmy's.
Oh God.
Well, so you know bad. What? If you're at Jimmy's, and I find the skin tag, and keep in mind that's a big if.
Shut up.
We can do a presentation. I mean, what's the best way to do it? Should it be in a frame?
I don't want. I never. I can't.
A jar.
I cannot tell you. I cannot tell you. I never on the show ever want to see it.
How about Mike in a shadow box?
How about an artist's rendering?
Well, I mean, that's easy. Yeah. It's just like drawing a dot.
Rob, what you got to do is put it in a shadow box, stick it on that shelf behind you, and just play the waiting game. At some point, Mike's going to ask you, what's that thing behind you?
And you haven't even asked, like, Mike for the size of it.
Well, if it's on the armpit, it's...
About the size of a Vienna sausage. Not really. It's about the size of a Tic Tac.
Even a Tic Tac seems huge.
Well, it's. I mean, if it's big enough to be annoying, you know, it's got to have something to
it. It's a fat
it.
Guy thing.
It
it's
is.
It's a fat guy thing.
Yeah.
So gross.
But you know what? It might be enough to clone me. Do you have that technology in your home? Can you clone someone from a piece of their DNA?
I feel... Not quite like when I was on the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, but very, very close.
Just start spinning that chair in a circle, and then you'll get it all back.
Yeah, Mike, I just want to say
you're
one
get,
thing.
He's going to get responses, so we might as well.
I have to say one thing. When I thought of this,
yes,
this is exactly how I wanted my co-host to react.
Yeah, I don't doubt that for one little second. I don't doubt that you're getting exactly what you want.
So, Mike, how do you? I want you to spit the rules back to me. How do you play Skin to Win?
How do you? You send a message to Rob and tell him when you think his gross skin thing is going to be. Fall off his body.
I'm not, and also, folks, know this.
No picking.
No picking, no scratching, no advancing it. This is
stripping down butt naked, bending over. All you could see was cellulite hanging in pubic hair.
Underarm hair, actually, to be honest. I will not advance the removal of the tag at all.
Well, I don't get they rain the head comb, but they're.
And you'll alert us when Mel Allen announces that it fell off.
How about that?
Yes, I will give daily updates on the condition of it. But remember, this is all contingent, and this is my favorite part of the contest, on whether or not I can find it. May come off, you know, in clothing, may go down.
Yeah, but if you, how about this?
Monitor I can, it, yeah.
I will modify this contest.
All right.
As soon as you discover it's gone.
Yes.
That's the date.
Yeah, but and if they want to win the tag, I've got to find it.
I don't think the tag should be given away. I don't think they need. I think you should give them something of yours. They should get. You should give them. You will get better participation if you give them something of greater value than your skin tag.
I have to give away the skin tag, but I will perhaps put together a prize pack.
Why do you give away the skin tag?
Because that's how you play Skin to Win.
Can we ban whoever wants the skin tag from the cruise?
Oh, God, that's nasty.
I actually, you know.
What if it's still on him on the cruise?
I bought a small cabin for my skin tag.
And you know, if he's got one, he's got more than that.
Actually, no, Mike. I'm good right now.
But plenty of time to grow
another. Right now. Have you had them in the past?
Sure. I use the, for some of them, I use the oil application that where they're supposed to just dry and fall off. That's not very good.
Blackout.
And my doctor also mentioned another method, which is a little weird, but it also works. He says you can, I'm going to play some music because it's going to help this.
God.
Mike, what you do is you take a piece of dental floss.
Okay.
And he said,
I know that.
Not
I know,
mint
no.
and not waxed, and you tie it off. And then it just,
stop.
It dies
stop.
And it falls
stop.
Off. That might be if we put the show on cable.
Put the show
I
on
thought
the
you were
table.
Gonna do some nail clippers.
Oh, my God.
You know, I've got enough sharp things at my desk, I could accelerate the process. But remember, folks, Skin to Win is a Mark Goodson, Bill Todman television production. And get those guesses in to rob@mikeomarashow.com. Two Bs.
All right, we have to take a break.
Are you sure?
Please.
Have we sold it enough?
I'm not. Oh, God. We have to talk about Josh's running at the grocery store. Somebody thought he was homeless. It's a weird
like
show
that.
Today. It's my synopsis.
No, we're gonna it makes sense.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to do that.
Hey,
and I'm
going
to do the rest of the show with my eyes like this, and I don't know why that tries to help me get through this.
What? Great game. It's a great game.
Sure it is. We'll be right back. I don't know why. Oh, my God. I want to get to... Oh, look at that. It's Charlie's Choice music.
Charlie's
hey,
Choice.
I got mine yesterday. I got mine in the mail yesterday. My Charlie's Choice came. I'm an idiot. I was supposed to bring it into the studio and show you my bag of Charlie's Choice. Josh has one right there.
Mm-hmm.
All the way from Josh's neck of the woods, St. Augustine, Florida. Start your morning right with a bold cup of Charlie's Choice coffee.
Charlie's Choice.
Because great coffee, ladies and gentlemen, and great company like us go hand in hand. Don't just drink coffee. Experience it. We all know that you gotta have coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee, coffee, coffee. So, we want to give you the best. It's Charlie's Choice coffee.
Charlie's Choice.
Oh, look who brought it in. There it is.
Hey, that's terrific.
Mm.
What's your roast date on there?
Hold on a second. I will tell you that. It's written on the front of the bag. I've got it right here. My roast date is March 1st. 2025.
Oh, my God. That's three days ago.
That's absolutely
Charlie's
wonderful.
Charlie's Choice.
Mm-hmm. Crafted in small batches and roasted to order in St. Augustine, Florida. Every bag is fresh and full of flavor because great coffee should never be a gamble. Each package is marked with its roast date so you know you're getting the freshest brew possible. So support
Yummy.
Small business and enjoy Charlie's Choice.
Charlie's Choice.
Today, as part of the perfect combination, TMOS coffee in your TMOS coffee mug. Put it in mine right here.
The camp
this
mug.
Morning.
Beautiful.
Already drank it.
You ain't got no more left, Lieutenant Dan.
Get yours at the TMOS store at MikeOmarashow.com. Start your day right with Charlie's Choice.
Charlie's Choice.
Because it's good to the last sip.
It's good to the last sip. Yummy.
Charlie. There is so
Yummy.
Much stuff.
Does he have skin tags?
There is so much stuff. No, Charlie does not.
That's good for him.
Josh Soroka went to the grocery store. Sounds like
E-I-E-I-O.
A nice story. Doesn't it? It really does.
Kelly and I went to the grocery store on Saturday morning, and we're shopping. And as one does, she comes back to the cart with a carton of eggs. But it's one of the mini cartons that's only six eggs.
Sure, yeah.
And she brings it back and says, this was $7. And I said,
For a half a dozen?
Hold on. I said, there's no way that's $7. And I say that, I guess, pretty loudly in the egg aisle. So I grab them and I go back to the thing, to the cooler. And I see that she read the sign wrong, that these were like premium, like, or something super organic.
Organic
eggs.
Gold.
Probably.
They had
yeah.
the normal eggs. Were a dozen for $7.
Eglin's
so,
Best, perhaps. Those are next.
So I shouted across the aisle for her to come on over to look at these prices.
Yo, Kelly, get over here!
And while I am showing the price to Kelly,
yeah,
another lady walks up, grabs the giant thing of eggs, the like 18 or 24 eggs.
Yeah,
love those big packs.
Puts it in my hands, puts a $10 bill on top. And said, enjoy your eggs.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my
off.
God. That's so sweet. That's such
no,
a,
it was very,
ran- that's
very
a random
sweet.
Act of kindness because they thought you couldn't afford the eggs.
They thought I was there because I couldn't afford the eggs. And that
that's beautiful.
I had a cart full of food. I'm then perplexed the entire time at the grocery store. I just want to get out of there.
Because you're just feeling weird about somebody that
weird
did you try to deny it? Did you
I
say
did.
Thank you? Okay, how hard did you try?
Hard enough that she kept saying, no, no, I insist. And then
wow.
walked off insisting.
I think that's sweet.
That's funny. And, it is, but it's funny.
Right.
Yep.
And then I felt embarrassed having a giant cart of food. While she's also in the grocery store still. Mm.
Right. I totally understand your impulses because you would be sitting there going, I was just given charity from a stranger, and I have a
full eggs.
Bustling cart full of expensive groceries. Yes. And if she's in here and she's going to see, but she must have seen. Did she see your cart full of groceries?
I don't know, because we left the cart and kind of walked away from the cart.
Did she look like she was an affluent woman?
She had a very nice car, because she then was awkwardly behind me for a moment in the checkout.
And oh, no!
Yeah.
Thankfully, then she moved to another aisle, so she didn't see my total. And then as we were leaving, I saw her get into a really nice car with her mom. Now, here's what I did.
The car, Mike, was shaped like an awkward. Egg.
I had $10. That $10 bill was not going to cover my groceries.
Right. Clearly. No, but it would cover your eggs.
So here's what I did is there were Girl Scouts on the way out.
Oh, you gave it. So, oh, you paid it forward.
So I still bought a box of cookies. That's but I paid $10 for that $6 box of cookies.
That's I don't
told
care.
Him to keep the change.
That's paying it forward.
Yummy.
as you could. That's so weird.
Yeah, it was just a weird interaction where I just the entire time thought, do I look poor?
You should probably go to a car dealership and say, like, hey, Kelly, can you believe this?
I can't afford this Mercedes.
This exactly. $68,000 car.
We need transportation
for the children.
I'm going to go to Naples today. I've never been to a Bentley dealership. I was told it was just a good, reliable form of transportation. We can't possibly. And this is the way I'd look at them, too. All right. I like say you guys are the are the rich consumers at the Bentley dealership. Yeah. We can't possibly afford this.
Right. Weird. I can only figure it's because eggs are so much in the news lately. Yes.
I suppose.
And I like the way you pronounce eggs, too. You kind of say
I say that wrong, too?
Yeah, a little bit. Egg. It's
Let's
a little
it again,
flatter. Go ahead.
Egg.
It's flat. It's exactly the word for it.
It's egg. Well, I think that's wonderful. And you have technically paid it forward by overpaying for the Girl Scouts. But,
yes.
You know, we'll see.
Also,
have you
ever my paid? Fridge Go ahead, now Josh. Has 18 eggs. Who needs 18 eggs in a week?
I do. I could go through
never
18
mind.
In a week.
Jesus. That's how you get skinned eggs.
No, that's not fair. You cut that out.
We will take a break, come back with beautiful video
beautiful.
On the Mike O'Meara Show. And what a great little story. And now for everybody out there, pay it forward. Be a good thing to do today. I plan on doing it. I will doing it one way or the other. I've done it forever, and I will do it again. And it's not it can be something as simple as handing money to somebody who's at an intersection or doing something in a grocery store. Do it today. I think
make eggs great again.
Wonderful. How many eggs does your family consume per week, Rob?
Well, I mean, Carrie is eating hard-boiled eggs every morning for breakfast, and then, you know, an occasional one for myself, and, you know, if you have a sandwich or an egg. Yeah, I say we go through, with the kids home, we went through 18 in a week.
Oh, it's always the kids, even when they're not in the house. That's it. The kids like it. That's been forever he uses
but
for his food.
Carrie
that's
and I could do 18 in a week, no problem.
18 in a week. I have to find out. I'm going to come up with a number. Because I don't eat them like I used to. I used to eat them almost every morning.
And
I don't
also,
do that anymore.
In our house, Mike, two meals a day, we have French toast.
That's I could do that. I really could. Calories are no object. Here's something that I think we all have in common. Yes. We all want to be the best possible version of ourselves. And unless you are a Greek god, you might need a little help. That's where Carla and Dermglow Skin come in, offering expert guidance, top-quality peptides like semaglutide, tirzepatide, B12, NAD+, and glutathione delivered right to your door. Carla also has an amazing lineup of skincare products. She is always here for you. I tell you quite often that I use the Repair Bar, the Citrus Scrub, and the Sun Guard when I'm out on the golf course.
Right.
She's ready to answer any questions and help you reach your goals, whether it's losing 1 pound or 100 pounds or even more. Visit DermGlowSkin.com, click Weight Management and Peptides, and start your transformation today. And Carla will help you get started on this, and a lot of people have been talking to her about getting started on their weight loss journey. She's an expert in it. She can tell you. She did it for me. She can do it for you. Fast, easy. She's got your back. DermGlowSkin.com. I'm Mike O'Meara, and I've turned my life around with DermGlow. Just one look, and you'll see a young man who's cruise ready. See, no, not really. I'd have to hit some little gym work to be cruise ready.
I'd say you're more cruise ready than you've been in many years. Come on.
Definitely many years, but as far as the, you know, Father Time, a little tightening might be a good idea.
I was actually talking, Mike, about Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz. Hi, everybody. Now, go in peace, ladies and gentlemen. Beautiful video. Oh, yeah.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mike, people are so stupid. So stupid.
The Mike O'Mara Show. TMOS.
Yes.
There is a trending TikTok thing going on now that if you want your child to sleep through the night, you give them a spoonful of butter. This does not work. This is nauseating.
You tried it yourself last night?
I've never sleep, and I have a spoonful of butter every night.
Just a spoonful of butter helps the medicine go down.
It is ineffective. It is dangerous for your child. And also, when I watched this, I became a little nauseated. Ugh.
Crying.
Melted?
No, oh, no, just solid.
Like
it helps you sleep longer. Because what do I have to lose? Margo! Come here, baby.
To make the kids sleep through the night. Ugh.
Is that good?
Kid doesn't seem to really be affected by it too much.
The kid's arteries are hard as a rock.
By the way, if you can play that again, if you want to see the look that I have when I eat a McDonald's cheeseburger in two bites, take a look at this kid. This would be me in the wee hours of the morning.
Bye-bye.
Here comes Mike.
Come here, baby.
And pretend that the butter is, there you go, I eat the thing and then I just make my way out.
Oh, God. Now, perhaps that hits me harder than most because I was told a story by my mother this weekend, I didn't know, is that when I was little, my father took a spoonful of mayonnaise, I mean like toddler age, took a spoonful of mayonnaise and told me it was vanilla pudding and gave me a taste of it. I was like 14 months old.
And you went nom, 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 nom. And
no, I gagged. It was, it was a cruel trick to play on a youngster.
Oh, young Rob. Yeah. There it is. I got a workout on that one today, Skin Tag.
Mike, you ought to wonder what you got to do to get ready for the Oscars. One of the worst things you could have happen is a wardrobe malfunction. You don't want that.
No, you don't.
Can you imagine if you're walking down the red carpet and your hog falls out?
Oh.
You don't want that.
No.
So there's a way to test it. Now, Heidi Klum doesn't have to worry about, you know.
She doesn't have a hog.
She does not have a hog, but she doesn't want her breasts to fall out. So how did she test her outfit on the night of the Academy Awards? She went on a trampoline.
Happy Oscars! That's the warm-up!
That's a cool trampoline.
Yeah, it's level with the ground. And she passed.
That's cool.
She
I
went
like that.
From that to the Oscars ceremony.
Double-sided tape, people. Double-sided tape. There you go.
Now, you miss the NFL, right?
I probably miss that sport when it goes away now more than I used to. Yeah, I'm thinking about it all the time. The Giants next year, what they're going
to
do.
Now, if I were to say, this is two-pronged here, if I were to tell you the name Jules White, does that mean anything to
Looks,
you?
It sounds familiar, but I can't tell you.
He was a producer and a director for many, produced almost all, but directed.
Oh, the Three Stooges.
The Three Stooges.
Okay.
Now, he wasn't limited to doing the Three Stooges. He also did a series of short subjects in the 30s called Barkies. Now, Barkies were simple tales told with dogs as the actors.
Okay.
And so if you miss football, Mike, just watch this.
Holds up.
It's better than the Puppy Bowl.
I love it.
I was so into it. I said, well, after the game, don't you want to go to a bar?
Oh, this is great.
Hey, give me a beer.
No CGI in those days.
No, it's so true. All of it's real.
Hey, boys.
That's
great.
So if really, if you wonder, you know,
that little crap.
What the you know, what the ideas of the Three Stooges is actually rather comforting. You can always make a dog do
that's
your work.
That's wonderful. I like that. I really do.
911. Even if you give a kid a phone that you think is broken, it might still have the ability to call 911. Just be aware of that.
So a toddler's accidental 911 call for emergency donuts has a lot of people smiling.
Yeah, this is the cutest story you'll hear all day. This hilarious phone exchange
led
to an actual donut delivery by police. Take a listen.
Hello?
Donuts. I want donuts.
Hi, Barbie.
Are you going to share your donuts?
I'm taking your mommy.
You're going to take me to mommy now?
Hey, my walk. My walk. I'm looking for donuts.
I think it's nice how the 911 lady is paying such attention to the kid and ignoring every call from Gene Hackman.
Help me! Help me!
I just tried to do a Gene Hackman impersonation right there.
You're just dying next to the space heater.
Are you familiar at all with an Asian mountain formation called Puppy Mountain?
No, I am not. Was it? Didn't you play the Jules White shorts?
Yeah, but Mike, this we're back to this. Is
Puppy Mountain? Does it look like a puppy?
Let me tell you something.
Or
this
is
puppies. A mountain that looks like a puppy.
Saying okay. Goes, take a look. Life imitates art, but what about nature imitating life? A cliff along the Yangtze River in China that looks like a resting puppy.
Okay, and then the graphic guy puts the God, I
know,
hate local
it.
News.
I know. I think we get
magical.
A better shot of it. Hold
the
on.
Puppy's
here.
Snout
idiots.
Perched at the water's edge. Many tourists even traveling to the so-called Puppy Mountain to take pictures with their own dogs.
But
Mike,
really,
take
like,
pictures
if you're
with
doing
their...
a puppy story local news
yes.
And you smash... the Chiron over the God, local news. Puppy Mountain.
Mike, it's a mountain and it looks like a dog.
That's very exciting. Very
and let's close with this. I like to put a button on a story when I can. John Stewart is going to keep his hand. He did not injure it so badly that it had to be removed, but they did address it on last night's Daily Show.
You can just pick up something. From the last time that I was out here, I'd made a bit of a critique of Elon Musk and the Doge program. Let me reset the scene.
It's a sippy cut.
I am not allowed to have big boy mugs anymore. There was an actual meeting of the safety department of Paramount and Viacom that was like, no more ceramic for Mr. Stewart. So they wanted to baby-proof. So this is... Anyway, we had some critiques about Doge after
Mike,
the show, Governor Musk.
That's all I have for you today.
I love John Stewart. That's it. We got to get out of here. And thank you. The site is up. The cruise doors are open. The gangplank is ready for you, ladies and gentlemen. Get yourself over to MichaelMaraShow.com and get your cruise going. We are going to be setting sail the first week in December, the 5th through the 8th, and we would love you to be on the MSC Seaside. Get your cruise tickets today, ladies and gentlemen. We would love to see you there. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Dog Mountain.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
It burns!
Folks, don't be...
it burns!
Been on the beach, simple as that.
This is the fright break. To allow anyone to leave this theater who is too frightened to see the end of the picture.
It seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/sell23, all lowercase. Whether you're selling loafers or peace lilies, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person. Covering all sales channels, from a shop front POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. With their 24/7 help and extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Go to shopify.co.uk/sell23 to take your business to the next level today. That's shopify.co.uk/sell23.